Back at it one more time here on the Juice on the Cuse podcast. Matt D'Agostino, Wes Chang, both wearing memorabilia, paraphernalia of teams not in action at all this weekend. The Giants definitely were not in action on wild card weekend. And the Mets have got a couple months left before opening day. That one is looking bleak as well. I feel you. I'm out there with you, Mets fans. Wes, so,
and I'm turning my hat to the side, and it's not the just other side. It is a Syracuse cap.
That was a Syracuse night at Citi Field, or was that? That's right. That wasn't back in Jay, was it? That was at Citi Field.
No, it was at Citi Field. Yeah, it's at Citi Field.
But Wes is a Yankees fan. He doesn't know about struggles, so he wouldn't understand.
I've been following this football team for longer than you have, Matt. At least closely.
We will get to teams that were in action this weekend, including Syracuse basketball team up against North Carolina, and more football news in the recruiting world. Once again, we'll try to put it all into perspective about what exactly it means, but more good news coming out of Central New York as far as the football team is concerned. But first, we start with basketball, Wes, and do we really have to talk about this one? Syracuse goes to Carolina Saturday. 103-67, the most points allowed by a Syracuse team in an ACC conference matchup. And this one was over fairly quickly, Wes. Syracuse really never even hung in the ball game once the opening tip.
Yeah, Matt, this is the biggest loss in Syracuse history since it joined the ACC. I think it's just another example of Syracuse not being able to compete with the big boys. You know, they've had five losses now. Four of them are the teams in the top 25, the KenPom rankings, and their average margin of defeat in these games is 22.8 points. So we're not working with a tiny sample size anymore. We know who this team is. They're competitive against their peer schools. They're not competitive against top schools. That leaves them the slightly above average category, and I think they're just slightly above average.
Yeah. Hubert Davis, I think this is a very telling quote, Wes, as we were talking about it earlier in the week, talking about how it would be a very interesting matchup to see how Malik Brown would face Armando Bacot down low, a seasoned veteran, a big body downstairs. And Hubert Davis said, as good as Syracuse is, they're limited in the front court. And so we wanted to get the ball inside. You saw it literally the first couple of possessions feeding Bacot inside. And Harrison was pretty good too with a double-double as well. But now in seven games against Syracuse, Bacot has four double-doubles and is averaging 13.5 points, almost 11 rebounds. So it was a
Bacot in his 15th NCAA season, it seems like.
Yes, I believe him and RJ Davis have 97 years of experience at North Carolina, which is pretty remarkable. But a big guy, and he caused problems for Syracuse down low, which we kind of expected.
Yeah, and, you know, again, you said it, and they really never look competitive from the jump. There's a couple stats that jumped out to me. Syracuse minus 23 in the rebounding margin, so it was 53-30. You can't – I don't know of any team that's going to be able to win with that kind of discrepancy. And, of course, the outside shooting coming back to haunt Syracuse, 4-for-19 from downtown. If your name wasn't Quadir Copeland or Chris Bell, you didn't connect on a three, and you mentioned it, Bacot – having a great day. You know, Ingram, they combined for 27 points, really showing Syracuse's lack of interior defense. So this was the type of matchup that you and I were discussing that, you know, I think especially without Naheem McLeod was going to really expose the flaws that we've been talking about all season. That's exactly what happened.
Runs by North Carolina in this game, 34-11 in the first half. And then Syracuse down by 22 at halftime, actually come out and get it down to 15 in the first couple minutes of the second half. And then Carolina rips off a 20-8 run that kind of sealed the deal from there. But just not a very competitive game, which is a little disappointing to see. And there were several culprits in this one. You can't just point to one person or two guys. The backcourt has been struggling lately. West, Judah Mintz, and J.J. Starling not performing up to their standards. And Justin Taylor's been very subpar the last few games as well.
Yeah, I agree, Matt. You know, Mintz obviously ended up with a good point total, but he shot 7-for-17 to get to the 21 points. And I think the more concerning sign is that J.J. Starling really has regressed. You know, we were talking about how well he played against Oregon when he had 14 points. That's the last time he was in double figures. So about a month since he's been in double figures. you know, he's not going to get it done with 8 points against North Carolina, especially coming off a 2-point game against Boston College. You know, coming into the season, a 5-star recruit coming here with a lot of hype, especially a Central New York native, and he was supposed to be their number two option. He's barely averaging over 10 points this season now. So definitely concerning signs from their backcourt. And as you just mentioned, Justin Taylor, really not getting a lot from him. You know, we were kind of debating, should it be Chris Bell? Should it be Justin Taylor that, you know, gets sat and maybe they try to, you know, work in another wing? But at this point, it's got to be Justin Taylor, in my opinion.
A lot of the shooting stats do not look good. Mintz, 35% in his last four games. You mentioned Starling, five straight games of single digits where he's averaging 7 points a game, shooting just 20% from beyond the arc. And Taylor has now scored in single digits in 8 of his last 10. And in 3 of the last 4, he has 0 made field goals, like nothing, providing nothing on the offensive end. So there is some alarming trends here as we move through conference play. And the bench, we've talked about being so good. Copeland had 16. He was very good. The rest of the bench, just 3 points. Benny Williams, 0 for 5. Kyle Cuff, 0 for 5. I don't know whether you can just sweep this one under the rug and call it a game against a very good team. Like you met, I hadn't even looked at that, but 22 points a game, the average margin of defeat in these games against top 25 opponents. They're starting to add up to where it's not like, okay, maybe this isn't a one-time deal. This is starting to become a trend of how we view the Syracuse team.
And again, is a lineup change going to help, or is this just a very flawed roster? I think, you know, we're starting to see that it's more the latter than the former. You can swap Kadir Copeland in there, but he doesn't solve the issues that Syracuse has been having, namely interior defense. Kadir Copeland's a point guard, essentially playing a little bit of wing. And then if you swap Benny Williams in, you know, again, I keep saying you got to play power forward. You play like a shooting guard, 0 for 5 from the field, because he didn't want to do the dirty work inside. So it's a flawed roster that Coach Red Autry inherited. You know, there have been issues with outside shooting. There have been issues with interior defense, and he hasn't gotten what he wanted from J.J. Starling. So there are lots of issues going on here. I don't know if a lineup change is going to help, and I just think he's got to rely on the guys that he has to make incremental improvements, J.J. Starling being at the top of that list.
Yeah, it's. He said this is the first time we were kind of caught on our heels. No pun intended, Carolina, it's our heels. But it's very true. This one, they just looked lost. There was no flow to the offense. They couldn't get any stops on defense. And the turnovers, they just got outworked. A lot of Carolina bodies diving on the floor here and there. And Syracuse seemed to be the ones just looking and watching and getting scored on more times than not. So 103-67, a very poor showing in the state of North Carolina for the Syracuse basketball team. But there are good things to talk about with the Syracuse football team, Wes. We will get to that in just a moment here on the Juice and the Cuse podcast.
Back on the Juice on the Cuse podcast, Wes Chang alongside Matt D'Agostino. And Matt, you know, you talked about Syracuse basketball struggling this weekend, but Syracuse football making other headlines for good reason. So another day, another commitment in the 2024 class for Syracuse. On Saturday, 2024 athlete Ivan McDaniels committing to Syracuse. He played wide receiver and defensive back for Elizabeth in New Jersey. He's going to be playing the defensive side of the ball at cornerback. The Juice Online had a chance to catch up with McDaniels after his commitment. He cited Syracuse's culture as the biggest reason for his commitment. That's the 20th commitment of this class, as Fran Brown has really revamped this class in less than 2 months that he's been here, Matt. So, you know, another commitment. And, you know, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about why I like this commitment, but it's not the splashiest commit. And, you know, there's been a lot of conversation about that.
Yeah. Again, New Jersey. That's no surprise at this point. I love the fact that, what are we, 4, 5, 6 weeks into the Fran Brown era. How about that one? Fran Brown era. And people are citing the culture. I didn't know a culture could be cultivated that quickly. It sounds like something that preceded his time here at Syracuse, that has just grown over the years between his ties and his connections. So the fact that that has kind of gone with him now that he's a head coach is pretty remarkable, pretty impressive. But what exactly do you like about McDaniels here, despite him not being, you know, the 5-star kind of recruit?
Yeah, Matt, I think this is the textbook definition of a diamond in the rough. As you mentioned, and I just mentioned, he's not on the radar of any of the recruiting services. He didn't have any other Division I offers. So you're not going to see him, you know, come in as a 4 or 5-star recruit. But Syracuse believes this is an elite level recruit that they just snagged. Sources telling the Juice Online that the Syracuse staff loves his measurables. He's 6'3", 190 pounds, runs a 4.4 40 meter. I know you used to do that in your heyday, Matt.
I ran a 4 ever, I think, was my exact time.
And just an explosive vertical with a top motor. If you watch his tape, you know, you're going to see someone that never gives up on the ball and is going to be always just, you know, tracking down guys at the end of play. So this is someone that never gives up on the play. So you're going to need to trust the staff here. Your Fran Brown coached defensive backs his entire career. He spent time finding players just like this. So while it may not have the splashiness of a 4-star guy like Marcellus Barnes Jr., the SU staff really believes in McDaniels. And I think that's an important factor to really consider here, is that, you know, they were brought in to recruit, they were brought in to identify talent, and they've done that here, even if he's not going to be on the radar of a lot of people.
I'll liken this to a basketball recruit at Syracuse. May not be the McDonald's All-American kind of guy.
I think I know where you're going with this.
What's that?
I think I know where you're going with this one.
Yeah, I mean, very clearly, Coach Boeheim had a system, and he recruited players that fit well in his system. So they weren't the highest recruits ever. But, like, again, I'll always go back to the same lanky, athletic, long types of players. So it's a Hakeem Warrick. It's a Damone Brown. I'll even throw in a Terrence Roberts, even though that wasn't, like, the prototypical kind. But those kind of guys who may not be getting all of the attention nationally, but you can look at the guy, see his skill set, and say, yeah, I understand why Coach Boeheim wanted him in there. This sounds like that sort of thing where, again, we may not have the tape on the guy and we may not, you know, be able to see it, but, you know, he's identified something. They've identified something in McDaniels that they like. And despite him not being on recruiting lists across the country, it sounds like, hey, we've got somebody who does the things that we want and we need on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, and this isn't just the staff that's going to identify diamonds in the rough and here's your class, which is what Dino Babers was pitching. I mean, this is, you know, they have currently, according to Rivals, 3 4-star recruits in this class right now. Marcellus Barnes Jr., I just mentioned him, Emmanuel Ross, the Stanford flip, and Yassine Willis, the Pitt flip. And for those of you who have been following along this podcast, we had John Garcia Jr. on a few podcasts ago, and he said that Jamie Tremble, again, in your neck of the woods in Georgia, Matt, he's going to be bumped up to a 4-star in the final rankings, a blue chip recruit. So this Syracuse class is currently ranked 38th. Rivals has been tracking recruiting for over 20 years now. That is the best ranking ever since Rivals started tracking recruits. So, Matt, I did a little research. We were talking pre-show about, you know, how good the recruiting has been. And, you know, I just look back at the last 5 years, right? Syracuse didn't have any blue chip recruits in 2023, 2022, 2020. That leaves 2 years, 2021 and 2019, where they actually landed a 4-star. In 2021 is Deuce Chestnut. In 2019, Syracuse had 2, including Mykel Jones. So if you combine those 4-star recruits that Syracuse landed in the last 5 years, they had 3 total. Syracuse is already 4 locked into this 2024 class. So if you trust the staff to get the big name recruits, you're going to have to trust them, in my opinion, to find those diamonds in the rough as well.
Yeah, I mean, for somebody just looking at Syracuse pile up these recruits, these transfers, all of this stuff, it's kind of hard to put it into context. You know, what does it mean exactly? Sure, they're getting guys, and volume is good. You know, you got more chances to hit or miss the more guys you get in there. And, you know, somebody could look at Kyle McCord and say, all right, I understand what he can bring to the table. I've seen it on TV. I've seen it at a Power 5, you know, playoff potential kind of team like Ohio State. And so, yeah, I see where that gets Syracuse being better. But all of these guys, like, it's hard to kind of quantify that. But I think that's what you're saying there, is not only are the Orange getting more recruits in a short amount of time as people are garnering a lot of interest with this new program, but they're doing so at a rate that's far faster and far superior to even the last 5 years combined. They seem to be getting it all done here in the last 2 months.
And that's just it. You know, Fran Brown hasn't been around. He hasn't had a whole recruiting cycle to even get stuff like this done, right? He's only been around for 2 months. Imagine what he's going to be like now that he has the lead time of a full recruiting cycle where he is the head coach and he's not scrambling at the last minute to try to flip these recruits from other schools. He's going to be able to bring them in. You know, there's several recruits for junior day coming in on January 20th that are going to be those 3-4-star caliber guys all from New Jersey that we've learned of. There's going to be lots of recruits coming in, but you know, some of those recruits are some of the best recruits in New Jersey. There's at least 3 top 10 recruits from New Jersey coming in this upcoming weekend. So again, just shows you what they've been able to do in the short period of time. And I can't wait to see what it's like with a full recruiting cycle behind them.
Yeah, it's we've said it a number of times. It's pretty impressive to see what's been able to be done in such a short time. And I mean, we still got to wait 8 months until we see the product on the field. But you know, the off season certainly has been a winner for the Syracuse Orange football team. So good news on the football side, less than good news on the basketball side. We'll wrap it all up here on the other end and figure out what it all may mean here on the Juice on the Cuse podcast. Just a couple of minutes left here on the Juice on the Cuse podcast. Thank you for listening on the Believe Network. You can also catch this on Rivals.com on the Syracuse page. Matt D'Agostino and Wes Chang wrapping things up here. And I will be the first to admit that I may be wrong. I may have been wrong.
Whoa. Stop the presses.
I know. Just let me get through this. This is harder for me than it is for you. I promise. I can't handle having to admit being incorrect. And it still may not prove to be incorrect. But as of this moment, I will say Syracuse basketball, I do not think, is an NCAA tournament caliber team. I was definitely on the bandwagon early in the season. And despite winning more games than they've lost as of late, losing to Duke and North Carolina in the last couple of weeks has shown me that at this point, Syracuse cannot hang with the big boys. They certainly have a chance to get back to some winning ways with the upcoming schedule at Pitt, home against Miami, Florida State, and NC State before going on the road at Boston College and at Wake Forest. So certainly all of them are winnable games for Syracuse, but this trend of losing to all of the good teams and beating the lesser teams has got to find its way back towards getting a big win or two in the near future. So it's one thing to lose by 20 at Duke when you kind of felt like they were in it in the second half, losing by 36 at North Carolina where they never really were in the game. It was a bit of a sour note in what's been a fairly positive season to this point in terms of how we viewed this team. But until they can get a win against a team maybe they're not favored against, or just have a convincing win against a team that is on their level, I'm going to say Syracuse right now is not an NCAA tournament team.
Yeah, and I think this next 7-game stretch that you just discussed is really going to be telling. I think that's going to make or break their NCAA tournament hopes. So, you know, still a little early to be calling it one way or the other. You know, I think we've kind of vacillated back and forth. You like that word, vacillate? You know, SAT word, Matt. They've gone back and forth between making and not making. And I think we're going to be able to make a pretty firm decision after this 7-game stretch of where
real quick. What if they get to 20 wins, which is kind of, you know, again, we talk about that being some sort of magical number, but none of those wins are against teams that are in the top 25 or, you know, those solid tournament teams. Is that enough to get Syracuse in, or do they not have the benefit of the doubt given their recent history?
Yeah. So I think, you know, that my answer is, as it is a lot with these things, is it depends, right? Because you have to see who else is on the bubble. If there's there's 5 teams on the bubble and they all don't have these, you know, fabulous quad one wins, which is probably why they're on the bubble. I do think Syracuse has an opportunity to make it because they have had at least solid road wins. I think that Oregon win is really gonna play well for them down the stretch. I think, you know, beating even like a Georgetown, which is an away game against a power 6 opponent, I think that's going to help them down the road. So, you know, I think a little bit too early to call. I think you have to see how the bubble plays out. You know, 20 wins is a nice number. And if they get a couple in the ACC tournament, I wouldn't count out Syracuse just yet. Again, I think the 7-game stretch really going to be telling about their NCAA tournament hopes.
All right, fine. I won't be totally down on them for now. We'll just take a wait and see approach, Wes. We'll see how it goes. I hope for greatness, and we'll see how it unfolds.
Yeah, Matt, I wanted to close the show on this. You know, there have been several portal transfers in for Syracuse and out. And for the most part, I think Syracuse has come out ahead on the portal since Fran Brown got here. One guy, though, I think Syracuse would have preferred to have kept is starting linebacker Stephon Thompson. He committed to Nebraska over the weekend. Across four seasons at Syracuse and 36 games, he finishes with 169 tackles, 10.5 sacks, 4 forced fumbles. You know, I always say this, the transfer portal giveth, the transfer portal taketh away. Syracuse, I'm not saying that they haven't come out ahead. They have. They landed some really blue chip recruits out of the portal, but this is still a big loss for that defense. So it's certainly worth noting that, you know, Syracuse can't win them all, and they haven't.
Yeah, and an experienced player on that side of the ball certainly would help the transition into the Fran Brown era for sure. But they have made out pretty well at this point. So certainly more positives than negatives at this rate for Fran Brown and the Syracuse football team. Well, that'll do it, Wes. We have successfully made it through another one. I want to see you transfer to being a Mets fan. if you come on here wearing a Yankees hat on any of these podcasts, there will be hell to pay. That's all I have to say about that. So
I actually don't own any Yankees caps right now. So you are in are in a good spot, my friend.
Yankees fan doesn't
friend.
Own a Yankees hat. Interesting. Okay. Yes. All right. Well, then you're in luck. I won't have to reach through this screen and make short work of you. I will I'll be peaceful at this point. Thanks again for listening to the Juice on the Cuse podcast. For Wes Chang, I'm Matt D'Agostino. Until next time.